Happy Holy Thursday.
Amen.
This is the beginning of the sacred Triduum, which is the most important set of days in the Catholic calendar. This is the week that changed the world. This is the game changer. Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, leading up to the great victory lap or victory march, Easter Sunday. My name is Jesse Romero. I'm on duty, Terry.
And Terry Barber, I'm on duty also, Jess. And I want to thank you for taking the show yesterday. We had actually four masses at our chapel for funerals, and then we had other events going on. For about 14 hours, I had my hands full. And praise God, we got new listeners from that, because guess what I was doing, folks, at those funerals? Hitting people up about Virgin Most Powerful Radio, because these people need it. Hey, Jess, today's going to be good. We're going to give a good news story about a homeschooling 17-year-old. Wait till you hear this story.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. Also, we're going to be talking about the wonders of the Mass. Jesse alluded to it. It's Easter Triduum coming today. Holy Thursday, this is the day when the Eucharist was instituted, the priesthood was instituted, and Father Paul O'Sullivan, Dominican, Jess and I have this book for years, and I still keep it, and I still read it. We'll talk about the saints and what the Mass is. Also, Father Ed Broom, Oblate of the Virgin Mary, has a great article, Living Out the Easter Triduum. And then I want to give kudos, Jess, to the Bishop Heining. He's up in Wisconsin. A good friend of mine went to school with him. He's a good bishop. And he's also going to talk about fully entering into the Triduum. And also, before we get into the soul food for the day, don't forget to mark your calendars. Jess Romero will be here for the Men's Conference, June 12th. You can come to the chapel for that. We'll also have it online. But and Eddie Chavez will be here talking about suffering, because he's been out for about a year with a lot of suffering. Be a good talk. Don't forget also April 10th, the weekend after Easter, Divine Mercy weekend. Father Don Calloway is going to give two classic presentations here. It's free. It's April 12th. It's on our website. And then May 15th, I'll be doing an evangelization conference, virtual conference. It's free. How to share your faith with anyone. That's going to be May 15th. So mark your calendars. But before we get to all this content, let's get some soul food, brother.
You got it, Terry. Well, first of all, let's talk about Holy Thursday. And here's the soul food that we want to give.
You got it.
On Holy Thursday, there are three things that were given to us that will be here until the second coming of Christ.
I love it.
We were given the holy priesthood.
Yep.
Christ chose the 12 apostles, made them priests at the Last Supper. This is the institution of the priesthood. Mm-hmm. Second thing that we received on Holy Thursday is the Holy Eucharist. Mm-hmm. Christ gave us the Last Supper, where he taught the priest, the apostles, how, in other words, because you and I weren't there at the Last Supper, so we're going to say like, oh man, I got ripped off. I wasn't there in the presence of the God-man.
Nope.
Man, why do all those people, they were present, but I wasn't present. Jesus Christ on Holy Thursday made it possible for us to be present with him forever.
Awesome.
Until the second coming by instituting the Eucharist.
Right.
This way, we can be present just as much as the apostles were present with Jesus at the Last Supper. The third thing that our Lord instituted on this day was we would call the corporal works of mercy, mm-hmm. an act of charity, the washing of the feet. This was to teach us one of the most important sub-virtues, which is the sub-virtue of humility. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Who was assigned to wash feet in the days of Christ in the Old Testament? It was the slaves. Right. When somebody would visit a wealthy person's house, the slaves would wash the feet of the people coming and visiting the rich people's home. While our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the richest of all, he has all the riches of the world, as the Bible says. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills because he's the God-man. Christ took the form of a servant, a slave, and showed the apostles what it means to be humble. And Terry, I'll tell you, to be honest, I would wish that, for example, I would wish that the bishop in Dallas, in fact, I wrote him a letter as
good
much, that he would what was done to that young girl.
The pregnant young woman.
The pregnant young woman being hauled out of mass by the police department. The bishop in Dallas, Terry, like Christ, should go to her house, get on his knees, and beg her for forgiveness, just like Jesus showed us in the Gospels. Nothing less would suffice after the humiliation that they put her through. But going back to Holy Thursday, the washing of the feet, there's also something larger there. When you read a lot of the mystics and saints on that passage, some people think, well, I guess that's when Catholic charity started, right? You know, just start, you know, corporal works of mercy. No, this it's much deeper than that. The spiritual exegesis of Holy Thursday is our Lord was giving the apostles the ability through that demonstration of washing the feet, of washing their feet, he was giving them a spiritual demonstration of the power that they would have now in the future forevermore to wash souls through the priesthood. The washing the feet was superficial. He was showing them the greater power they would receive on that night as New Testament priests. They would have the power to wash souls and the power to heal souls with the Holy Eucharist. Remember that prayer that we pray at Holy Mass. Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed.
Amen.
This is what happened, Terry, on Holy Thursday.
And Jesse, I wish we would record that and that would be played at each seminary throughout the world, because I'm going to tell you something, brother. What you just said is the perennial teachings of the Catholic Church. And I'm going to say that many people, even priests, have no clue of what you just said.
Yeah, they think Catholic charity started today.
Exactly. That's the state of the church. But we need. That's why we're talking about the source and summit of the Christian life, the Holy Eucharist, the priesthood. Jess, can you give us that good news story real quick about a homeschooling girl? She's only 17 years old.
This is impressive, Terry.
Yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't say whether she's Catholic. I think she is, because in the article says that they're a family of faith.
Yeah.
And they're homeschoolers, and she has, there's five children in the family.
Sounds Catholic to me.
Sounds Catholic. Catholic or really committed evangelicals, or maybe even Mormons. But but to me, they sound Catholic. Nonetheless, the 17-year-old girl, she's broken a record, Terry, because she's the world's youngest American to earn a PhD. And it wasn't in a very easy field either. Business administration. So the 17-year-old girl, is Kimberly Strable, is now called Dr. Kimberly Strable.
At 17.
The youngest in world history to ever get a PhD, and the youngest in American history as well.
God bless her.
God bless her. She's just a normal girl, man. I mean, she loves to quilt, ride horses, cook, paint, you know. And but again, she obviously takes her studies seriously. She graduated from high school at the age of 12. She graduated from college at the age of 15.
I know, I love it.
And her mom's Adria Strable, says even as a young girl, she would like to do lemonade stands and sell popcorn for fundraisers. So she always had this good business sense.
Yep.
And the mom says that she has this indomitable spirit in everything that she does. And they said that getting her PhD, she took on paid jobs. She worked to pay for her doctoral studies. She volunteered at church. She also traveled internationally with the Junior Peace Corps. The mom said that she's the Strables. All the kids seem to be very high performers. But she also said this, that their work ethic comes from the Lord.
Amen.
That everything that these kids do, they do it with all their might as working for the Lord. Her and her husband have been married for 22 years. They've homeschooled all their five children. They've also had foster children.
Wow.
And this girl, Terry, I think she's gonna do amazing things in this country in the next couple of years.
And you notice, Jesse, doing it with God's blessing. She's doing it all for Jesus. And I think that that is the key. And I always want to recommend mom and dad, consider homeschooling, especially in the days we're living in right now. There's lots of support groups. Jess, when we come back, I want to talk about the wonders of the Mass and also want to open up our lines for one thing. Tell us what you're going to do for this Easter Triduum that's going to build your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can call us at 888-526-2151. That's 888-526-2151. If you have the book, The Wonders of the Mass, printed by Tan Books, man, I'll just give you a teaser before we leave. Here's something it says, nothing on this earth, nothing in heaven itself gives more glory to God and obtains more benefits for us than a single Mass. Do we understand? When we go to the Easter Triduum, think about this and then we'll break. Think about this maybe be your last Easter Triduum. The gentleman, we had a Mass for Peter Sierra, a friend of mine. He was here last Easter and we just celebrated his, we just had a funeral Mass for him. That could be me next year. It could be Jess Romero. Could be you. Let's really make sure this Easter Triduum is the best we have. And when we come back, we'll talk about the wonders of the Mass and much more with the Easter Triduum on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Don't turn that down. Tell your friends, you're listening to us on YouTube, like us. That's how we keep growing. We're over 30,000 likes now, people watching us on YouTube. Tell your friends about Virgin Most Powerful by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Pick up our free app. That's another way of listening to us here on the Terry and Jesse Show. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
During the sacred Triduum,
yeah,
the days of Holy Thursday through Easter Sunday, the strangest thing will occur. There's millions of Christians throughout the world. They're going to gather to honor the humiliation, the torture, and crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In a global culture that usually celebrates power and strength and beauty, this public veneration of something so horrible, it's always a little bit shocking. Mm-hmm. So could it be that what people find so absolutely compelling about the passion narrative of our Lord is the vulnerability of God or the humility of God? In the Christ event of the Passion, God leaves the safety and the glory of heaven in a certain sense and embraces the limitations of our human condition, mm-hmm, coming to know in the flesh both the glory and the tragedy of our nature without ever having sinned. And in the last week of his life, Jesus completely hands himself over to us in the foot washing and the Eucharist, in the scourging and the crucifixion. The Son of God loves us completely and without restrictions, conditions, or limits. And whether we accept, reject, or ignore this divine love, Jesus never changes his fundamental stance towards us. You know, in Roman and Greek mythology, the gods were always conspiring to manipulate humanity to serve their often selfish ends and egotistical schemes. But in Jesus Christ, we encounter the surpassing subversion of this oppressive game. God comes down to earth and serves us in absolute humility, availability, vulnerability, and mercy. God has come to earth to love, pardon, and save us. And so the weakness of the cross, the simplicity of the Holy Eucharist, the tenderness of the foot washing, the love that seeks to embrace a traitor, a thief, and a coward, it's so beyond the grasp of power politics or the swirl of social hubris and the world of earthly grasping that it takes our breath away, mm-hmm, to see the humility of God. No wonder that kings would stand speechless in the presence of the suffering servant, as Isaiah the prophet proclaims. You know, if God could become that poor, that humble and vulnerable to love me, how can I ever stand on my own self-importance, So this week, as Catholics, as people of faith, we celebrate the strangest things.
Mm-hmm.
Weakness becomes strength.
Amen.
Love conquers fear. Miserable despair transforms into resurrected hope. And perpetual death gives way to eternal life. And it's all because a naked criminal was thrown down on a cross 2,000 years ago. This naked criminal happened to be the God-man.
Yep.
And he embraced that cross as if it were his marriage bed. Terry?
Absolutely. We should let the Lord love us during this Holy Week. The palm that we held in Palm Sunday should be a symbol of praise, reverence, and love for the humble Master who has saved and set us free. You think the world needs this? You sign me up. Think of the world right now, folks, with how depressed they are this past year. This is why it's not a time to be quiet about our faith. Think about it. The Mass of the Lord's Supper on Holy Thursday evening is an opportunity to taste the surprising grace of the Eucharist and to surrender to the consolation of the foot washing. Listening to the Passion and venerating the cross on Good Friday gives us an opportunity to embrace the cross in our own lives, no matter what form it takes. Know that the mystery of suffering in our lives is a sacred ladder. This is important, a sacred ladder by which we will ascend to the beauty of the kingdom of heaven. Jesse, this is so beautiful. We're going to continue, but we've got Julia all the way in Indianapolis, Indiana, with us, and she's going to chat a little bit about the Easter Triduum. Julia, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Hi, thank you for having me on.
Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm going to fast tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And probably not eat anything.
Wow.
Something I've done for health reasons. Well, actually, if we all quit eating carbs, it's easier to do mm-hmm. than you might think. But I also wanted to ask you a question. So I've listened to a lot of religious talk online this Lent.
Yeah.
And I've gotten a conflicting opinion on whether to attend the wedding of my nieces and nephews. Mm-hmm. They're baptized Catholics who are not getting married in a church.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was okay to go and pray for them, which is what I've done in the past. But then I heard an opinion that it's actually a mortal sin to go because you're witnessing to
two Catholics that are going to be marrying outside the church. I'll let Jess answer that first, and then I'll give you my take.
Okay, I'm just going to talk about Jess Romero personally. There's no way I would go. I didn't catch the context. Was this
two baptized Catholics?
Okay.
Well,
and they're getting married in a Protestant.
Yeah.
Okay, and they're getting married in a Protestant church?
No, they're getting married in a garden setting.
Oh.
And I actually went to one a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
That was a garden wedding.
Okay, I'll just make it very simple. As a Catholic, because my conscience is properly formed, I'm not going to witness a baptized Catholic deny the sacraments of Holy Mother Church. As a Catholic, because we're baptized, we're bound by what's called canonical form, and which means that we as Catholics have to follow Holy Mother Church and the canonical form to receive all the sacraments. There is a canonical form to the sacrament of matrimony. And so I'm not going to be witness to two people that are going to basically tie the knot in an institution of fornication. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says that you can't participate or, you know, be involved in any way, shape, or form or complicit in somebody else's sin. What am I going to celebrate? That they're going to go live together and start a life of fornication? No, not on my watch, Gary.
And Julie, I'll just add for Jesse that I would actually tell them to their face that I love them too much to come.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's how I'd say it, because I don't want to participate in this. I don't believe that this is what God would want for the both of you. You're baptized,
not for Catholics, especially.
Right, you're baptized Catholic, yeah. And this is the way to do it the right way and have God's blessing. And so I would do it in charity, but I would definitely not go. Mm-hmm. Okay, Julia?
Okay.
All righty. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you.
You betcha.
Yep.
Hey, Jess, this whole thing on Easter, the Easter Triduum, think about this weekend. All of us, please, will go gathering around the Easter fire at the vigil. We call to mind how we begin the Lenten journey marked with the ashes of sin, failure, defeat, but now you have become filled with the fire. the mighty force of the risen Christ and the courageous strength of the Holy Spirit as we proclaim the resurrection of Christ as the beautiful truth and transforming meaning of human history. This is important. Know that the Lord walks with you. He loves you and is leading you to the fullness of joy and peace. This is what the world is wanting, but let's make sure we don't check out when we're at this Easter Triduum. In other words, thinking about, hey, isn't baseball season starting? Oh yeah, who's playing tonight? No, put your focus on this whole 3 days because it's going to be a powerful thing. Now, the bishop also points out that the shocking, strange, and powerful events of Holy Week should lead us, here he says, to tears. My wife cries every Easter Triduum, Jess, every single year I've known her. And, you know, even laughter, gratitude, praise, humble awareness of our weakness, and joyful acclamations of God's victory. The Triduum is a time for God to break open our hearts so that the gracious torrent of divine mercy that flows from the side of the crucified Christ will wash us clean, forgive us our sins, and fashion us even more deeply in the new creation of the Lord's saving death and resurrection. It's the whole caboodle, the life, death, and resurrection of Christ we're going to be experiencing, Jess.
That's right. Tara, I just want to mention something about Holy Thursday and Holy Saturday.
Yeah.
From the article from the bishop here.
Yeah.
He says, the Mass of the Lord's Supper on Holy Thursday evening is an opportunity to taste the surprising grace of the Eucharist.
Yeah.
And surrender to the consolation of the foot washing.
Yes.
Listening to the Passion and venerating the cross on Good Friday gives us the opportunity to embrace the cross in our own lives. No matter what form it may take, know that the mystery of suffering in our lives is a sacred ladder by which we will ascend to the beauty of the kingdom of heaven. Let me give you a little spiritual warfare piece of advice on the Holy Thursday. The whole thing of foot washing, exorcists around the country, they use this technique on Holy Thursday to help drive demons out of people and to liberate people from the diabolical. What do they do?
Yeah,
they'll have a picture, or they'll take a crucifix and they'll put it in front of the energumen. The energumen means the possessed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what St. Thomas and St. Charles Borromeo calls a possessed, the energumen. So they'll put a picture or a big crucifix, a bloody crucifix, in front of the possessed person, and they'll say, don't look at any other part of the crucifix other than the feet.
Hmm.
So they'll have the possessed person, during the session, stare at the bloody feet. And this has a very powerful aversion to demons to drive them out, because remember, Mary Magdalene, according to tradition, okay, she was possessed with several demons.
Mm-hmm.
And what did she do? People think that's the same woman that kissed Jesus's feet, remember, and dried his feet with her hair. And so because of that action of piety and reverence that was taken by this holy woman, this action causes a great amount of pain and aversion to demons. And so this is a powerful tool in the field of Catholic exorcism.
Wow.
To drive out a demon. They have the person just stare. Don't look at anything else in the room. Stare, stare, stare at the feet of Jesus. Look at the bloody feet of Jesus and just see yourself as Mary Magdalene worshiping at his feet.
Wow, that's powerful. Jess, I want to throw out another wonder of the Mass, Father O'Sullivan's quote from St. Lawrence. St. Timothy of Jerusalem, he says, check this out. The world would have been destroyed long ago because of the sins of man had it not been for the Mass. Whoa, smoke that one. Wow. Hey, there's nothing that appeases the anger of God so much, nothing that obtains for us so many blessings as the Mass. Folks, can I make a suggestion? This Easter Triduum, when you go, make it look... In other words, act like this is your last Easter Triduum on your planet so that you could really relish the Easter Triduum. Because when we come back, we're going to talk about Father Ed Broom's article, Living Out the Easter Triduum to the Maximum, here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. And again, like us on YouTube. That way we grow and other friends will be watching us. And we'll be back with more on the topic of living out the Easter Triduum to the maximum here on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Here's a good piece of advice. I just got a text right now, and somebody was sending me some political stuff, and I texted him right back, Terry, and I said, I told, he's a good brother in Christ.
Sure.
I said, I'm shutting down from politics until after Easter Sunday. And I texted him. I said, it's a long group of texts, like 70 men here in Arizona.
Yeah.
I said, I'm going to focus on Jesus the next 4 days, not on Joe Biden.
So well said, Jesse.
Yeah, yeah. Just disconnect from that
Exactly. Because you know what? What really matters is your salvation of your soul, number one.
Yes.
And so that's what we want to focus. And, you know, each year, let's be honest, Jesse, God showers us, you and I and all our listeners, with countless blessings, especially in the season of Lent, Holy Week, and it culminating at Easter, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his triumph over sin, the devil, death itself. That's much more important than politics.
Yeah.
However, Jess, check this out. The effects of the holy days are in a direct proportion to our interior disposition of soul, openness to God's grace, docility, and the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. In other words, a fervent practicing Christian will reap much more abundant harvest than a non-practicing Christian. Well said, Father. That's why I say let's don't check out when we're at the Easter Triduum thinking about other things. Let's really focus on this. And just what does Father Ed Broom tell us what we need to do with the Ignatian spiritual exercises?
Yeah, he defines this world. You've heard this word.
Yeah,
you've heard
magnanimity.
It's called magnanimity or magnanimous. You heard most in English say magnanimous.
Yeah.
So magnanimity is a key word in Ignatian spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
It simply means in English generosity of spirit, having a big heart. Okay. Like somebody would say, Saint Mother Teresa, that was generosity of spirit. Okay,
yeah.
She had a big heart. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, he's the director of the spiritual exercises. He emphasizes the primary importance of those going through these spiritual exercises. The person's called the exercitant. Mm-hmm. Those entering the exercises, he says that we have to enter into the spiritual exercises with magnanimity. In other words, great generosity of spirit to God.
Amen.
And likewise, that's exactly what we should do in this Holy Week. We should have the same disposition of spirit, magnanimity. If you like, we should enter into these sacred Paschal mysteries of the suffering, passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ with an ardent longing to truly love God totally,
amen,
unreservedly, and with every single thread of our being. We should live out this Holy Week as if it were to be the last in our lives, because only God knows if this will be our last Holy Week. We can't presume we're going to wake up tomorrow morning. And so, Terry, we should live out the Easter Triduum.
That's right.
To the max. To the max.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And it consists of 3 days.
That's right.
It culminates in Easter. So the 3 days of the Holy Triduum is Holy Thursday today, Good Friday tomorrow, and Holy Saturday. And the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, obviously, this is what we're working towards. So Father Broom's going to offer some short and simple ideas and reflections and challenges to derive the most abundant fruit from these holy days and arrive at an authentic transformation of our lives, so that at the end of the Triduum and by Easter Sunday, we will be able to say with St. Paul,
I love it,
it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Galatians 2:20. Terry?
Self-abandonment. That's the key to serving Christ. Not my will, but your will. Holy Thursday, holy mackerel. On that day, we commemorate with love and awe, tenderness and gratitude beyond human expression, the institution of these two sacraments, generously given to all humanity from the depths of the most sacred heart of Jesus. What's for? For our sanctification and our salvation. The sacrament of the most holy Eucharist and holy orders, the priesthood. Now, the most logical disposition, the movement of our hearts should be to praise and thank our Lord Jesus for having bestowed upon the church, until the end of the world, the greatest of all gifts, the most holy Eucharist, that we can receive in Holy Communion every day if we are properly disposed. You notice that? Properly disposed. The most holy Eucharist is truly and substantially the body, blood, and divinity of Jesus the Lord. Think about this. Eucharist means thanksgiving. Our whole being should overflow with the most exalted and sublime expression of thanksgiving. Let me mention something on Holy Thursday. There's a reason here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio, we come to our Sacred Heart Chapel every Thursday year-round, 52 Thursdays a year, to pray for the priests, the bishops, and the Holy Father because of this very reason. That's the day, Holy Thursday, the priesthood and the Eucharist were instituted. So I want to make an invitation for those in Southern California. Join us from 7 to 9. Now, tonight, we're going to have a 5:30 Holy Thursday Mass, and you're welcome to come to that. And we're not taking shortcuts like some people take shortcuts on the Easter Triduum with readings. We're going to have all the readings for all the readings the church offers. We're going to have the foot washing with men, I might add. And it's going to be very traditional. Stop smiling, Jesse. I caught that. I know. I'm joking. No, I'm serious. We're going to have a very traditional liturgy because the Anglican Ordinariate who are here go old school. And I like old school, Jess. All right, let's continue.
So, holy orders on the same day and in the same historical context, our Lord Jesus Christ instituted holy orders.
Mm-hmm.
The Catholic priesthood,
yep,
and this happened in the upper room, it's called the cenacle,
right,
at the Last Supper, which was the first Mass when Jesus said the words, quote, "Do this in memory of me," close quote.
Mm-hmm.
At that precise moment, the apostles were transformed into the first priest as well as the first bishops. So every Holy Thursday, while participating in the Mass of the Last Supper and the washing of the feet, we should pray for our Catholic priest. And our prayers should be universal. That's to say that we should pray for vocations to the priesthood. We should pray for seminarians who are preparing for holy orders.
Amen.
And equally important, we should pray for priests that are already ordained. And our prayers should be lifted on high for young priests, for elderly priests, for sick priests. Furthermore, we should pray for tempted priests.
That's right.
Priests that have many doubts, as well as for priests that have fallen so that they will return to Jesus, the Good Shepherd of their souls. And with a heavy heart, Jesus prayed. He said, "The harvest is rich, but the laborers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers to work in his vineyard," close quote. So many souls are at risk,
mm-hmm,
and jeopardy for the lack of laborers, for the lack of holy and fervent priests. And so on Holy Thursday, with fervent prayers and hearts on high, let's pray for our priest.
Amen.
Offer your own communion for them today. Jesus is earnestly longing for your prayers.
And make sure you send them a note or verbally tell each of the parish priests at your parish, "Thank you for saying yes to Jesus with your priesthood." I'm going to tell you, many priests tell me, "Wow, people said they thanked me. I'm on that." What's it take? Just do it, okay? On Holy Thursday, we contemplate Jesus at the Last Supper, blessing us with the two sacraments, as we said, the Holy Eucharist and the priesthood. On Good Friday, our attention, gaze, and contemplation is lifted on high to the cross. Let us unite our hearts with this famous prayer attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. "We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world." I'm going to repeat that because I love that. We had St. Francis of Assisi got credit for it. We can all pray it. "We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world." Contemplate the cross and the resurrection. Spend some time in silence, contemplation before a graphic image of Jesus Christ crucified. One specific aspect of a worthy meditation and contemplation is the precious blood of Jesus. I might also add, if you're here at our Sacred Heart Chapel, we have beautiful Stations of the Cross to do, not only during the Easter Triduum, but year round. So just with love, reverence, and devotion, the spirit of reparation, and contemplate the various outlets of his precious blood, start with his thorn-crowned head, the pierced brow, penetrated by the long and piercing thorns, almost arriving at the brain, allowed for a constant flow of blood. Wow, well, how graphic is that, Jess? The blood that he shed for your salvation, Jesus suffered his most excruciating passion for all humanity. And check this out, folks, but also for you and me personally. Amen, brother.
Terry, I mean, this is
powerful. This is it.
To take all this sin that was happening in these last 3 days, this is something it'll take us an entire eternity to really take this in. So let's talk about Good Friday here.
Yeah.
On Holy Thursday, again, we contemplated Jesus at the Last Supper, blessing us with the two sacraments of the Eucharist and the priesthood. On Good Friday, our attention, gaze, and contemplation is lifted on high to the cross. Mm-hmm. Let us unite our hearts with the famous prayer attributed to St. Francis that Terry just said. We contemplate the cross and the resurrection. Spend some time in silence and before a graphic image of Jesus crucified. One specific worthy of meditation and contemplation is the precious blood of Jesus. Let me just digress here and show you a technique that exorcists do also. For people that are diabolically possessed with sexual perversion, demons of sexual perversion, specifically through pornography and through sexual perversion, exorcists for the healing as a spiritual exercise in between sessions, they'll tell the possessed person to pray the rosary in the sorrowful mysteries only in front of a very bloody crucifix, and lock your eyes on the bloody crucifix for 15 minutes praying the sorrowful rosary.
Wow, that's powerful. We're talking about living out the Easter Triduum to the maximum here on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful. We got one more segment to give you some more meditation.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We're talking about the Sacred Triduum, which is essentially the 3 days that have changed the world. There is nothing like these 3 days in all of cosmic human history. And Terry, we were talking about the priesthood. I just want to make one comment. We'll continue to talk. One of the reasons, you know, on Holy Thursday, we receive the ministry of the priesthood in the Catholic Church.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, just from the word itself, this is why women can't be priests. Because priests in the Old Testament, they were picked from amongst elders, older men. They call them elders. Well, the word elder, the Hebrew word elder, it means the bearded one.
Right.
So notice, so priests in the Old Testament were picked from the elders, the elder Hebrew males. The word elder in Hebrew means the bearded one. Therefore, in other words, to be a priest in the Old Testament, it meant that you were one of the old bearded ones. I don't know how women would look with a beard,
I don't think so.
But it doesn't fit the pattern.
Of course.
So we go back to... So if you are the only person in the whole created universe, Jesus loves you so much that he would indeed have shed every drop of his most precious blood for the immortal salvation of your soul. And how precious you are in the eyes of God, how precious you are to a sacred heart. You are an unrepeatable creation. Contemplate the nail-driven hand. These hands that blessed the little children, these hands that touched and restored sight to the blind, these hands that touched lepers, healing them instantaneously of their incurable disease. These sacred hands that drove out demons and that turned bread and wine into his body and blood. These hands are now nailed to the cross from which his precious blood oozes out, dripping to the ground.
That's graphic, Jesse. I mean, that is so meta. Man. I mean, contemplating his feet. These were the feet that walked to bring the good news to the aliens, the abandoned, the poor, the despised. He came to set captives free. Now these same feet can no longer move, but only shed blood so that we can walk the path of purity, justice, and peace. Just these meditations are, we got to reread them. It's all on our show page. Think about his sacred heart. Finally, let us contemplate his most sacred heart pierced with the lance. From this fountain of life, the most sacred heart of Jesus, after being pierced with the lance, blood and water came gushing forth, the source and fountain of our sacramental life. Now, Jess, the water, as you know, is the symbol of the sacrament of baptism and confession, and the blood is the symbol of the most holy Eucharist. In all of our troubles and fears, and boy, do we have fears in this world, and anguishes and sufferings, may we always seek our secure refuge in the pierced and open sacred heart of Jesus and not the poke. Go ahead, Jess.
Let me.
Sorry, you caught that, didn't you, Jesse? Go ahead.
The word fear to me stands, especially right now in light of the jab and everything else going on. Fear stands for F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real.
Yep.
Okay? That's all I can say. What you're watching on the mainstream media, false evidence appearing real. Yep. We go to Holy Saturday now.
Yep.
Holy Saturday, the sorrowful heart of Mary. One short suggestion to live out Holy Saturday would be to live this most special day with the Blessed Virgin Mary. The tone and sentiments for Holy Saturday, for many Holy Saturdays, is barely understood. This is the tone and sentiments that we should cultivate on Holy Saturday. Fasting. Good Friday fasting is obligatory. Holy Saturday, the church encourages fasting, but it is not obligatory. This day should not be full of unnecessary noises, but silence. Why? To cultivate a contemplative spirit of prayer. Our thoughts and our heart should be with the Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Sorrows, that, by the way, is one of the most important titles to drive demons out during sessions of exorcism.
Yep.
The demon cannot stand that title. He has to leave the body. The church recommends that we should spend some quality time with Our Lady, reliving what happened a few hours earlier. That is to say, we should enter into the sorrowful heart of Mary, who stood at the foot of the cross and relived the passion, suffering, and death of Jesus. And by the way, in the field of exorcism, they teach that it was right there at the foot of the cross. When the lance stuck our Lord in the side, blood even shot and fell on Mary and John the Apostle.
That's right.
And the church teaches in the field of exorcism that it was at that moment at the foot of the cross that Our Lady received full coercive power and authority over demons.
Makes sense.
What was promised to her in Genesis 3:15 was given to her in John 19 at the foot of the cross. That's Catholic spiritual warfare theology.
Awesome. Before we finish this, I want to get Becky in. She's in Ohio, and she's been very patient. Becky, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. You know, you have a comment and a question. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just have a comment. I just recently found this radio station by listening to others.
Sure.
And I wanted to make you realize I'm a cradle Catholic. I was raised in a Catholic school and everything.
Good for you.
But I don't remember any of this. I've forgotten most of this. It doesn't get preached anymore.
Yeah.
And now I've returned to things that I should have known.
Sure.
I should have been doing and did not know.
Well, you and millions of others, Becky.
Because there's so many crazy Catholics have forgotten this.
Yes. That's why we here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio, Becky, if you've heard us, we don't sugarcoat anything. We give the perennial teachings of the church. And this meditation that we just gave today is the mind of the church. We're not going to talk about balloons and banners, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
I want to let you know that we've forgotten most of this stuff, and we should have known it.
Yep, I agree, Becky.
And I really appreciate what you've done for me.
Thank you, Becky. God bless you, and tell your friends about Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thanks so much. We have a conclusion, Becky. I want you to hear this, and all the rest of us. Go ahead, Jess.
So, Terry, on Saturdays in the Catholic Church, it's traditionally dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Yeah, Bishop Sheen said that.
Every single Saturday.
That's right.
And so on Holy Saturday, we should contemplate in our hearts the passion of Christ through the eyes and through the heart of Mary. Because let's be honest, nobody ever penetrated the height, the width, and the depth of the suffering and passion of Jesus better than His Immaculate Mother Mary. So to wrap it up in conclusion, let's live out the Easter Triduum.
You got it.
Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday with magnanimity. In other words, with generosity of heart, with a big heart. Give God a big heart this next 3 days. And let's enter into the Triduum with great love and gratitude for Jesus Christ, who gave Himself up not only for the world, but for you individually.
Yes.
Individually, He shed every drop of His most precious blood for you individually, as you're the only person in this universe.
That's right.
That's how great the love of Jesus is for you and me. It's incomparable.
Well said. Becky, did you have a final thought before we have to run? Our time is almost out. Go ahead, Becky.
No, I just hope that everybody gets back to their Catholic faith, what they learned when they were in school.
Yeah.
And we start.
Thank you. I just missed. My engineer made a mistake. Sorry about that, Becky. Hey, Jess, the final thoughts on the Easter Triduum. Most of us, if we can't, I want to give a plug. Tomorrow, Good Friday, we're not going to be on the air. We're going to put Bishop Sheen's Good Friday Easter Triduum talks, and it's the best we have. So I want to remind everybody, this is not something that you can only listen to tomorrow. It's going to be a podcast also. So you could hear Archbishop Fulton Sheen give his 1979, it was 55 years in a row at St. Agnes Catholic Church in New York's talk. And I remember handing these out when I got them years ago and putting him in the back of churches, and people were like, wow, never heard anything like that. Well, Bishop Sheen has been dead 40 some years, and we're still promoting him here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Go ahead, Jess.
Terry, regarding our priests, let's not forget to pray for them, Terry.
Big time.
I mean, you know, a lot of people, and I can fall into it myself as well because of my fallen nature, my concupiscence, of criticizing more than praying for them. Okay, we've got to turn that around. We have to pray more for them and criticize them less.
I agree.
Too many people criticize them more than they pray for them.
Yep.
And let's not forget that our bishops and our priests, they're our officers on the battlefield.
That's right.
We are the church militant. I'm not a lieutenant. I'm not a captain.
Nope.
I'm not a commander.
Nope.
I'm a soldier of Christ. I'm a baptized lay Catholic. And our officers on the battlefield, they're the bishops and priests. They need our prayers, and we need to support them in all things that build up. Notice what I said, in all things, not that build up politics or anything else, but that build up the kingdom of God as we all together fight for our souls and the soul of our church.
And I want to invite you every Thursday here at Virgin Most Powerful at our headquarters chapel, Sacred Heart Chapel. We do that very thing that Jess just asked for. We pray for 2 hours for our priests, our bishops, and the Holy Father every single Thursday here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. And, you know, one day I'm going to be able to put it on video so that around the world people can join us even from a distance watching us, because
it's impressive.
Well, you need, because it's, this is, your prayers have an effect on the entire church, folks.
Yeah.
And that's why we want to stay focused today and not get distracted with anything else, whether it's sports, politics. Put your mind set it on the Easter Triduum, and think again. This isn't my meditation. This might be my last Easter Triduum on planet Earth, Jess. My friends, it happens to a lot of my friends. It's not a question of if, it's when. So I want to remind everybody, life is short and eternity is forever.
I just want to mention what the book of Malachi, chapter 2, verse 7 says.
Hit it. It says,
for the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts.
We here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio wish you a wonderful Easter Triduum. I hope your love for Jesus Christ has grown in this Lenten season, because that's how you know if it was a good Lent. If your love for Jesus Christ has grown. Jesse, what state should we be living in, brother?
State of grace. Do not live in the state of mortal sin. You got to leave the highway to hell and jump on the King's highway to heaven. Terry.
Again, up next, Dr. Sandoval is going to be here, our in-house doc. And he's a wonderful man with a spiritual warfare background and also with mental health. What a great combination here at Virgin Most Powerful. I think we're the only one with that in the entire country. Tune into it now. God bless you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh, my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church,